Andrew Adelson, who does an amazing job covering all of college football, was bouncing around last week. Saw her at Amelia Island. I would imagine she'll be in Scottsdale. Imagine she'll be in Destin. Who knows? There's so many spring meetings going on, I can't keep track of it all. Andrew, we appreciate the time. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
We're great. We thoroughly enjoyed the coverage last week from Amelia Island. First of all, it gave us real, tangible conversation about what future scheduling might look like. And it feels like the ACC is completely on board with the 3-5-5 scheduling model, basically a pod model that would allow you to play every team in the league within a four-year period, both home and away. I love the idea. My question is, what's taken so long? Why is it that they just now are coming to this conclusion? Man, we need to start to reevaluate how we've been scheduling so guys can get full experience.
It's a great question, because this has been a discussion point since I started covering the ACC 10 years ago. And they could never really get consensus on this. And every time they voted, it would come down along division lines, right? The Atlantic wanted to get rid of divisions because that was our division. The Coastal wanted to keep them because it was a lot easier from the Coastal to get in the ACC championship game, as we saw with seven teams in 7 years being able to make it in there. But I think this reality of where the ACC stands right now in the national landscape, falling behind financially where the SEC and the Big Ten are, that gap is only going to continue to grow. And a new commissioner in Jim Phillips, who is somebody who has been pushing for the league to get rid of divisions, to be able to create better matchups, to be able to enhance the football brand, to be able to get the ACC to a spot where people can look at football and say, okay, they're taking it seriously. It's not just the same old matchups that make them get locked into some games that maybe aren't necessarily compelling on a national stage. And so with Jim Phillips coming in, reevaluating everything that they're doing inside the ACC, making football a priority, and then seeing how well it worked for this league in 2020 without those divisions, being able to get two teams in the playoff has allowed this momentum to continue forward and saying, okay, now is the time to get rid of these divisions and do something in football to make us a little bit more relevant nationally.
Andrew Adelson of ESPN joining us on the Bud Light Hotline at A. Adelson. You can follow ESPN. You can follow her on Twitter. So you kind of took to Twitter and gave it a go for yourself, coming up with the three permanent rivals for ACC teams. And it's a practice that we have kind of run through on the show a couple of times, and it becomes difficult with certain teams. Like we talked about Texas. I mean, obviously, you're going to have A&M. You're going to have Oklahoma. Those have to happen. But what's next? The Texas Alabama game, we know will bring massive ratings. Do you want to go back to the old Southwest Conference games and go Texas Arkansas? There are a lot that sort of make sense for different reasons. When you tried to put these together yourself, what team or teams were the most difficult? Like LSU is another one, because you got to have LSU Bama. You would think you have LSU Florida. Well, LSU and Arkansas play for a trophy. LSU Ole Miss is technically a rivalry game. Which teams were those in the ACC for you that you kind of said, man, there's really four or five, and it's going to be tough for them to dial this down to three moving forward?
It's a great question, because I can tell you I have a lot of eraser marks and multiple sheets of paper as I tried to figure out what is this combination going to look like. And there's a couple of teams that obviously make things a little bit more challenging. You look at the Carolina schools just to start out, right? Because Wake Forest, NC State, North Carolina, and Duke have all played each other for a really, really, really long time. And they're not all going to be able to play each other, number one. And they also don't create the most compelling national matchups, right? If you keep them all playing each other. The whole goal is to try and keep some of the established rivalries, but also create some of those matchups that people want to see on an annual basis. Well, those four teams aren't really going to be able to play each other only every single year. So you look at a school like North Carolina, and you can put any combination with them, NC State, Duke, Wake Forest, Virginia. That's one of their long-standing rivals. That game has been played longer, I think, than any other in the ACC. They play for a trophy. So North Carolina, you probably want to see them play Clemson, right? You probably want Clemson now to play a lot of teams in the league, but narrowing them down to three. Florida State has to be a must, right? NC State feels like they've got to be a must. And then the other one that I have is Georgia Tech, because they've played them for a really long time. But is that a must? Do you fit someone else into Clemson that maybe hasn't been a longtime rival but can create a compelling matchup every single year. That leads us to Miami. Florida State's a lock, but then who else can be locked in there? You would think Virginia Tech, because that's been a longtime rival going back to the Big East, but maybe more people want to see Miami locked into some of the other marquee programs to be able to enhance that brand now that Mario Cristobal is there and there's a financial investment. So honestly, with some of the bigger name programs in this conference, you want to try and be able to find that right mix of keeping the rivalries in place. You know Florida State-Miami is going to play. Florida State-Clemson is going to play. What do you do with that last game for Florida State, right? Keep some of those longtime rivalries, but also create some of these annual matchups that people want to see. And the weirdest one for me is Louisville, because Louisville doesn't really have any natural rivals because they haven't been in the ACC for very long. And it feels like they can be plugged into maybe some open holes that are around. And Louisville fans would love to play Clemson, and they'd love to play Florida State. Probably not going to happen on an annual basis. So these are some of the challenges and why they didn't really vote last week on what the format or the permanent rivals were going to be, because there are a lot of moving parts involved in all that.
Visiting with Andrea Adelson does an amazing job covering all of college football, but really, really focusing, at least in the last week, on where the ACC currently is and where the ACC is currently going. Look, the ACC has one arm tied behind their back right now with the television deal with ESPN. They're locked up until 2036, whereas all these other conferences are going to have their rights coming up in the next couple years and essentially are going to leave the ACC in the dust as far as their earning potential, or at least it feels that way. So they've chosen to align with the Big Ten and the Pac-12, citing their shared vision and the alliance and all this other nonsense. But at this point, knowing that there is a new commissioner and that it's been a difficult couple years for all of college sports, how does Jim Phillips view the alignment currently that exists between the Big Ten and the Pac-12?
Well, it's a great question, because I know folks have taken their shots at the alliance, and rightfully so, because they came out and they said we're going to schedule against each other and we're going to do all this stuff non-conference, and we haven't really seen much of that come to fruition, although they have aligned on some governance things that people really don't care about, right? I mean, how much does the average fan care that those three conferences share the same goals and ideals when it comes to the transformation committee and what the future of college football should look like, right? No, people want to know, what does this mean for me as a fan, right? And beyond not having some of those non-conference matchups set that I think we all thought may happen, people are probably wondering, what does this mean? I think the number one thing, quite honestly, at least for right now, is just creating some stability, right? That these conferences aren't going to sit here and try to poach each other, at least for right now, because as a chain reaction because of what happened with Texas and Oklahoma, right? That with those two teams joining the SEC, I think there was a lot of panic that this was going to be a next wave of realignment that was going to lead to super conferences immediately. And the ACC is obviously in the worst position of those three conferences. The Pac-12, too, but at least their television deal is up before the ACC's. The ACC being locked in through 2036 has been a huge issue from a financial point of view. They do have a grant of rights that's tying them together, but I think the whole idea of this alliance is so that there's some sort of stability between these three conferences that will allow them, at least for right now, to continue forward with business as usual in their respective conferences. That may lead to non-conference scheduling, that may lead to some other agreements that they all have together at some point down the line, but having that stability for a conference like the ACC is really important. That's just in the short term, though. In the long term, I don't know what the whole landscape is going to look like. And I think it's fair to say that folks inside the ACC don't know what the whole landscape is going to look like, because we are in such a period of change right now. And there's going to be a restructuring of FBS football and what college football is going to look like, that potentially changes down the road may happen. But at least for right now, they can continue operating like, this is our conference. this is who we have with us. Now we have to figure out what we're going to do for us, for football, moving forward, completely cognizant that they are going to be falling further and further behind financially.
Andrea Adelson of ESPN joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Going to move away from the scheduling conversation. I just want your thoughts on this, because we debated a couple of different teams around college football. From this moment right now, moving forward, more confidence for Andrea Adelson, Clemson or Notre Dame?
In terms of success for this upcoming football season?
Football season's in the near future.
Boy, that is a very hard question, because when I look at Clemson, and I'll just start with Clemson, what happened last year, I can't forget about that, especially considering they're going to go with the same starting quarterback in all likelihood. Don't necessarily know how much better their offensive line is going to be. They haven't really gotten a receiver or two that can be transformational, at least for right now. And so when you put all of that together, you start to wonder, okay, they're going to be really good defensively. I think we can all agree on that. But they were really good defensively last year, and that really didn't do much for them in terms of what the playoff result was going to be. They didn't make the playoff because the offense struggled so badly. So I feel like we'll have a much better sense of where this program is based on what the offense does in the first half of next season. They do have a true freshman in Kate Klubnik, who's come in and he's competed with DJ Uiagalelei, but I think DJ is going to be starting the season. Maybe they'll feel like, okay, if things aren't working with DJ again, they can go to Cade as a true freshman because they have somebody who can do it. But I think that's also going to put Clemson in a very precarious situation. So for me, Clemson is one of those programs that it's very hard to project out over the next couple of seasons because of what happened last year and because there remains so much uncertainty with the offense, with essentially the same group of players that are going to be coming back playing offense for them this year. I think for Notre Dame, it's a little bit different because we're not sure yet how Marcus Freeman is going to do as a head coach. I feel confident that he is going to be successful there, and everything that they've done to this point leads you to believe that. I think a lot of people believe that, okay, maybe they were ready to move on from Brian Kelly, and this is a guy that those players wanted and they believed in. But anytime you've got a succession plan like that where the coach who is on staff and takes over, it's difficult to figure out whether they're going to find that type of success that they've been accustomed to over the last 5 years. So it's a very tricky situation, but I'm probably going to stick with Clemson because they've got Dabo still as the head coach and a proven track record of results despite what happened a year ago. It just feels like there's more historical evidence, at least for right now, with a program that continues on with the head coach and the level of consistency that they have had over the last decade.
Andrew, we can't tell you how much we appreciate the time. We look forward to visiting again here very soon. Excellent work, and continue. If you just keep your finger on the pulse with all these spring meetings, we're going to need you back in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me again, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, awesome stuff. Andrew Adelson joining us here on McElroy and Kublik in the morning.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.